Hey, hey, this is Takara, and you are listening to A Letter to My Sister podcast. You are in the right place if you are raised to be a strong, independent woman who didn't have to depend on anybody for anything, but then you realize there were some lessons that you didn't quite get as you were going along the way. We often go through life the best way that we know how, and we don't even realize that there's a better way. So in here, there will be some raw and real conversations surrounding life lessons about the things that we wish that we had known, maybe about self, love, money, and even our careers. So if you're new here, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and I would love for you to leave a rating and review as well. So now that we've got all that out the way, let's chat, sis. Hey, sis. If you've been here all season, then you already know what today's topic is: relationships. But today, I'm going to let you into my world a little bit because I don't talk about this aspect of my life too often. And so that's military. And so today we are going to talk about the uniqueness and the challenges of a military marriage. And I'm sure you all have heard all kinds of stories out there. And it's almost like either a woman loves a man in uniform or she runs in the opposite direction as soon as she finds out that that man is in the military. And she's like, he's for the streets, based on whatever you've seen on social media, whatever news articles you read. But I promise you, it's not that bad. But you do have to know that it's different. And so I wish that we had more spaces to really talk about the uniqueness of a military marriage and everything that's required so that you can go in knowing the things that you need to know. So listen up to this conversation that I'm having with Bree as we discuss all things military marriage. So listen up. Marriage, but not just marriage, military marriage, the military marriage champion, the military marriage spouse of the year, was it?
Look, turn up. I love it. Yes. Air Force spouse of the year. I'm excited to be here, Takara. Thank you for even having me. I'm excited to have this conversation. And yes, people know me for being the 2020-2021 Armed Forces Insurance Air Force Spouse of the Year. They know me from being a civilian working as a GS for the Air Force for 11 years as a civil engineer and project manager. But one of the things that most people did not know is that I came up against a time in my own personal relationship where a lot of the friends around us, and you know how it is in this military life, we say friends, but they're more like family. They're our transplant family that kind of does life with us and we stay connected with even after a PCS. A lot of them within a year's time, six of them actually decided to separate and divorce. And that was really hard for me because in one instance, I had my arm stretched out like, oh no, hold on, keep that over there. And then at the same time, I'm running towards them like, hey, can I pay for counseling? What can we do to resolve this? Because a lot of times, you know, even though they're our friends, it's hard to watch family go through tough things like that. And in that time frame, and again, for everyone's own reasons, like people do separate, things do happen. But I felt very frustrated in the fact that I could not find resources for our military couples that could help them navigate what their relationship should be like, what's missing, how can they resolve things? Or even if it is coming to it, how do you end on a positive note, knowing that you did the work to try and make it work, right? And there was no one place to find marriage resources for our service couples. So I got to thinking, hey, I like these podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and crack this mic. And I actually started a little podcast called Hearts and Stripes Podcast. And the focus is, listen, I've just been blessed. That's all. But Hearts and Stripes Podcast is focused on strengthening military marriages. It's a space where we just have real talk about relationship, how we talk about sharing advice, sharing resources, sharing tips. We talk a whole lot about communication, but we really break down what does that mean exactly? Like, okay, talk to your spouse. Cool. Like, that don't always work. But what does that really look like? What does real talk look like? And we just have a really good time navigating what it looks like to thrive in our relationships. And I'd like to say that that looks different for everyone. And also people need to know that that's okay too. Oftentimes people get in trouble with their relationships, trying to model other people's relationships, as opposed to just talking to your spouse and saying what works for us. So I love facilitating those conversations. And with that recognition of being Air Force Spouse of the Year, it bloomed into something so much bigger, which is Military Marriage Day, the Armed Forces' newest holiday, celebrated August 14th annually. And this year, I'm going to let y'all in on something exciting that's happening. Ooh. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Exclusive.
Right. Podcast exclusive. Yay. Drop the bombs and the sound effects.
Come on. I love that, though, because resources are definitely needed. And I don't speak much on the podcast about, you know, my military life or whatever. So I actually think you might be the first guest. You are the first guest in which we're talking heavily military. But I definitely get it. And I definitely understand. It's almost like kind of a joke. Mm-hmm. In the military, like, yeah, you know, I'm married,
it's always that.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things where when you see a couple that, like, oh, y'all like each other, like, that's different. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I would love for that to be more normal. Yeah. It is frustrating to see, because I mean, that sends a message, not just to those who are in the service, but those who may be considering. It's like, oh, wait, this seems kind of lonely and y'all be all over the place. Like, it could be fun for a little bit, but like, what if I want something different? What if I want something more that doesn't look like having a healthy relationship marries up with, no pun intended, like marries up with the service? Yeah. And I think it's a misconception that I don't believe to be factual. I feel like the challenges that we get to face, and I'm going to say it that way, that we get to face in our community is the breeding ground for our relationships to be that much stronger, because they're tested, because you are forced into situations to accelerate the growth and the maturity of your relationship, which is why I think service marriages should be the strongest marriages. Oftentimes we find the opposite, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do have a lot of resources available to us. I know, you know, the chaplains are heavy, because even as a single, I was quick to go on them single retreats. Because
oh, yeah, all, let's go. Take advantage, y'all. Right. Take advantage.
Right. They were free, but it seemed like the resources were kind of quarterly. It wasn't an everyday thing. It mm-hmm. may not have even been a local thing sometimes. I don't think people quite understand the nuances involved with being in the military, especially if you have no military experience. Like, we just threw an acronym on y'all earlier. I know some of y'all was probably like, what is a PCS?
Oh, I apologize. So,
that's okay.
We don't have to break them all down.
Right. And that's the thing. So it's a permanent change of station, y'all. But
we moved. Yeah, that's what that means.
The military has their own language. Mm-hmm. And for you to even come in an environment like that, where they're like, can you PCMS this over here? And you be like, the POV, and then the what, and then the PCS, right. And who? And it's like, okay, this is overwhelming. So now not only have you moved away from your family, you're now learning a new language. Mm-hmm. You're learning a different type of system. Mm-hmm. And depending on the job that your spouse works, they may be deployed, and then they could be gone for 3 months, 6 months, yep. a year and a half, mm-hmm. depending on the service. And for some, they have to do training, extended training. Yep. So then they're gone and they're away for a few weeks. It could be 1 week. It could be a few months. Then they got to go to training, and that's mm-hmm. 3 months. So your marriage is really, really tested as far as like when it comes to the military. Like, it ain't no cakewalk at all.
Right. It's not. And I'm actually excited that your listeners really get to hear a glimpse of, like, as we discuss marriage, but also military life, because I think, like you mentioned, it's not a cakewalk even being single, right? There are still things that you have to navigate, figure out, and grow up, which is why you have platforms like this to show different people, like how to set their life up for success, how they can navigate things through having healthy conversations. And that's why it's so much more important to even do that when you're married in the service, because you're right, you're stepping into a whole nother world. Literally, our bases are set up as like their own towns. So when you are allowed through those gates, you are literally entering another world with a new language, with new little nuances, different challenges, things you can do, things you can't do. They're going to play music at random times. You're not going to know what that is. Like it is very different. And I think people underestimate the differences that we experience as a community. I think people are interested in what those differences are. I think people have a healthy respect for missionally what our focus is and what that service stands for. But on a practical level, I don't think people understand what it looks like to serve. And to be honest, speaking as a military spouse, you really can't even understand it until you're in the life, right? Because I was a civilian prior to being married to military. I worked for the government before having the ring on my finger. So I thought I got it until I was married. And then I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is still different than what even the perspective that I had at close range was.
Yeah, it's very nuanced. And I know the majority of you out there probably don't know, but even like Bree said that they just moved, there is a process to that. There is paperwork on there. And then, you know, her spouse has to make sure that she's listed on there. All the kids are listed on there. Because if she ain't on that paper,
it's a whole lot of problems. That impacts your pay. That impacts. There is paperwork for everything. I literally just went to see my primary care provider so that I could get a referral just to see a physical therapist. Like there is a process and paperwork to every little thing. So couple that on top of a couple or someone in a relationship, a married relationship, and y'all can't even talk about simple stuff. Now, how you gonna navigate military life, which requires a level of coordination at every turn? You have to open those doors to, one, have healthy communications, to be a team, to explain things from both sides, right? Because you're both serving in some capacity. This is my belief. The active duty member typically is the one who's wearing the uniform and is serving in an outward role, but you have someone who typically stays stateside unless you're mill to mill. And that is a whole nother set of obstacles and challenges to deal with in as a couple. But the good thing to know about that, especially as we talk about any marriage, is that word I mentioned earlier, it's teamwork. It's about a team. And I think oftentimes, not to say that marriages shouldn't be like romanticized and like you get whisked away and all that good stuff. Like, yes, honey looks great in his uniform and it is a whole vibe. However, at the end of the day, what I am most grateful to have is a team member. And I think a point even to emphasize for those who are listening, maybe you're not married, having a team that is strong starts with having a healthy member, two individual healthy members who come together and create a team. I mentioned earlier that I'm an engineer, so let me give y'all some marriage math real quick. Like, you complete me. Like, no, we don't need a half, and a half don't make a whole relationship. That's not how that works. We need one whole person and another whole person to come together to be one in marriage. So that's that marriage math for y'all. All these fractions of a person who try to get together and figure it out and need someone else to complete them. That is why people get hurt, if I can put it frankly, in relationships, is because they're looking for something in the other person. And I think that is why I champion on Hearts and Stripes the three principles that we talk about regularly, which is you have to show up first for yourself before you can show up in your marriage, right? You want to thrive in your marriage, not just having a mediocre business transactional relationship with someone. And then you also want to thrive as you build a legacy, because I believe our relationships have the power to bless other people. It is not just about the people who are in the relationship. There is an opportunity for the love and the wisdom and the things that flow through those two individuals to continue to spread outside to either it's your children, whether it's your community, whether it's your squadrons, your units, whatever that looks like. There's opportunity for that relationship to create and cultivate something that impacts those that are around you. And that is the legacy that our marriages have the opportunity to do. But going back to the beginning, not if you a fraction of a person expecting that other fraction of a person to make you whole. That's not how that works.
I so agree. I definitely think that it's all about self first. So my question is, how would you have a person, what would you suggest as their step one for just making sure they're good, making sure they're whole before they dare step into a marriage?
Oh, I love this question because this is a journey that I personally had to work on. Another fun fact that most people do not know, as they see me as the marriage champion, right? They didn't know that all my life I struggled with having healthy relationships. From being a child or a preteen, if you will, and seeing my father being unfaithful to my mother, going in and out of unhealthy relationships to the point of having an abortion alone, down to the moment, which I would say is my lowest moment, where I found myself being strangled by a man who I said that I would marry. And it is after escaping from that relationship that I did a lot of introspection. And as my attacker pinned me to the bed, as I was looking up at this popcorn ceiling, I had the opportunity through gasp breaths to say, I don't see the God in you. I don't see the God in you. And ultimately those words weren't even for him. It was for me in that quiet time when I was able to get away. I didn't see God in, God wasn't in my plans. That message was more for me than it was for him. And I realized that the plan, the thoughts and the plans that he had for me were good, were for to prosper me, were for good and not evil. Some people are familiar with that verse and that scripture, but what that meant and what that practically looked like for me was I had to, one, prioritize myself and try to start seeing myself as my creator sees me. That meant taking care of myself. And I leaned heavily into my physical fitness and well-being and eating like I cared about myself. I know people often talk about like diets and stuff. No, are you nourishing your body? Mm-hmm. Or are you just eating to not be hungry? It's a difference. And it takes a level of care and in your body for you to understand that. And then I really, through this walk of self-discovery of just reading and feeding my brain, that's when I started to love podcasts. I love diving into different books, mostly audiobooks, y'all. But I had the opportunity to just really feed my soul. And in that time, I feel like I looked like a completely different person than who I was in all of these broken relationships. And the funny thing about that, for anyone who is single, who is willing to try this on for size, the funny thing about that is as I began to focus on myself, as I began to take care of myself and prioritize myself and work out and go hit Zumba and spin class and drink my water and mind my business, guess what was added to me? My husband actually is what came into the picture, because it's something that attracts a person to another person when you see them taking care of themselves, when you see them being ambitious and going after things and working hard on something and being thoughtful and mindful of themselves. And along that journey, that's kind of how I, when I mapped out the steps, that's how I came to the care method that I actually utilize when I'm talking with couples and service couples, my civilian couples too. I love y'all. And actually, it's a principle that I utilize in a lot of different facets, but it's simply reminding you to care. And you can care about yourself. you can care about your relationship. And that's just, here's another acronym for you. C-A-R-E is careful consideration. You're going to assess the foundation. R is reinforce the structure. And E is engage and trust. And what that looks like and how you can map that out for yourself. Carefully consider what it is that you need personally first before you start trying to figure out what another person is going to need from you in a relationship. Assess the foundation. What stories maybe have you been told about yourself, about relationship? What type of baggage, boulders do we need to dig up out of that soil to make that foundation something healthy and strong to build upon? That's that second phase, assessing the foundation. R, reinforce the structure. That's what I talked about when I mentioned like diving into books, seeking knowledge, getting around people who would help reinforce a healthy lifestyle. And that's all reinforcing structure. Maybe for you, that might be establishing boundaries, right? Boundaries for yourself, not just for other people. Oftentimes people think boundaries are meant to be for other people, but boundaries are really in place for you, and you have to be responsible for upholding them. And then that last one, engage and trust. And engaging and trusting, when I'm talking to people who are thinking about like before their relationship, when they're just thinking about themselves, trust might mean trusting yourself, listening to your body. What does it need? My body often tells me that I need rest, and I be trying to ignore it, and then I be knocked out unconscious to the world, right? So engaging and trusting, doing the things. I like to say, since we're talking about military marriage, it's putting work boots on that goal or that vision that you have for yourself or that you have for your relationship. Engaging in trust is taking that action and trusting the process that you walk through to take care of self or take care of that relationship. And that is how you care about your relationship. That's how you care for yourself.
I love that acronym. I especially love the last one, engage in trust, because I find that a lot of people, when they get into relationships, of course they start to have, and I had it too, they start to have that doubts like, is this mm-hmm. not, I'm not sure. But it's like, once you get into the habit of trusting yourself, once you get into the habit of making those decisions that are good for you, the moment that you decide to get into a relationship with someone, you should be able to trust that because you've done all this work on you, that you have now gotten into a relationship with a person that is good for you. Mm-hmm. And then if some kind of signal internally goes off, you trust that. You don't look for no kind of proof. And you mm-hmm. say, okay, something is off. Something is not right. Let me move on, or let's dig further into this together to see what's going on and what's not meshing here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have an example of that even in my own marriage relationship, which is something that I kick myself for, but it's one of those things where it's like, I get a story out of it, right? Engage in trust, how that worked out for me. And this is not like the maybe a really deep lesson, or maybe it is for somebody who may be still going through it. But prior to me marrying my husband, I was enrolled in and actually was a facilitator for Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Your girl was going to help people get debt free as she was going to pay off all these student loans, right? Hey,
so that was me. That was me. I facilitated.
Right. So I was a facilitator for the program. I met my husband. Matter of fact, the first date, which I didn't call a date. We literally went to go see Minions. That's neither here or there. Right. So, right. We went to go see Despicable Me. It's fine. So I was leaving a class that I had been the facilitator for our first date. We actually met and married in like a 6 month time frame, military fast. We move fast. Mm-hmm. And we started the course of our relationship. And can I tell you what the biggest thing that we argued about in our marriage was? It was finances. I had been the facilitator The facilitator had the books, had all, knew the things, and we still had issues around finances because I wanted to just trust him with, like, okay, he knows what to do and how to do it, and I don't feel like I'm good at this, so I'm gonna rely on him. And he's looking at me like, well, what are you doing? Because you're just swiping and forgetting, like, what's going on, like, what's up? But he would make it seem like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. We always had income to cover, but it would always be a point of tension. I say that to say, years later, friends, lean in, years later, I pull out and dust off the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University tools. And I'm like, you know what? I'm really frustrated with having to have this conversation over and over about these credit cards, about our debt. You don't feel like we're really getting ahead. We both make pretty good income. Like, would you be willing to try this? And you know what my husband said? Where has this been the whole time? I had not trusted that I had the answer. Mm-hmm. I was looking at him to have the answer, and the whole time I had the answer. I am very happy to say that today we are debt-free, but like, and we are working on paying off our home. I actually feel like the next time they move us, we're just going to sell it, you know, and mm-hmm. then we really will be doing things on a different level. But that engage and trust part that you talked about, I don't want people to gloss over that as it relates to the method of care for yourself. You have to engage and trust. And that means take action on the things that you know to be true for yourself, and then trust that your instincts, the things that you know, the things that you bring to the table in a relationship, you have to trust those things because they could be giving you red flags of things that you need to maybe work on in your relationship that may come up later to be more challenging than obstacles. Like mm-hmm. if it's something that you are feeling, have an inkling about, communicate, over communicate if you have to, and seek out those who can help you have those conversations. You mentioned the chaplain for my military couples, maybe also for my military couples, maybe that's looking at a counselor. Military OneSource offers counseling services for that. Mm-hmm. On base, we also have different clinicians who you're able to go to or get referrals for. That may look like a coach or looking at providers who are outside of our lovely TRICARE network. And that is okay. Paying out of pocket to be comfortable with the people that you're working for is an option for military members. Do not think that just because it's free, it's the thing that will be for you. Be okay with looking outside to get something that is more tailored towards your cultural, your spiritual, your personal needs. And that is completely okay. And then if you're looking for more resources, especially for our married couples in the service community, Military Marriage Day has a whole resource hub that we're building out where you can get connected with other resources and opportunities to help you facilitate the conversations like these.
That's amazing. I do want to go back because you said something that I don't think a lot of people realize. And you said, you know, we're military, things go quick.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Things go quick. And so you said that basically you and your husband were married within a time span of 6 months.
Yes.
And I do believe that me and my husband, we were probably at about 8 months. I think something mm-hmm. like that. And people are probably like, my God, what are y'all doing? So this is what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
If it's military and military, mm-hmm. sometimes what would happen is maybe you're at your duty station for, let's just say, 3 years. You have just gotten there. You mm-hmm. meet this person who you feel is the love of your life, but they've been there. And so they're about to leave in, let's mm-hmm. say, 8 months. And so now you all have a decision to make. Are y'all going to stay together? And if y'all are you going to do long distance?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you feel comfortable enough in your relationship to get married so that you all can move together and go to the same place,
right?
To be together, because there is no guarantee that just because y'all are dating, you're going to end up at the same place.
True.
And then, so even as a civilian, if you want your spouse to come with you, so in my case, I was the military member. My husband was the civilian who was prior military, but mm-hmm. even still, we had to make a choice. All right. If I'm solid enough in this relationship, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to put him on my orders
yeah.
so that he can come with me. And part of that too was to save money, because you can't yeah. put your stuff with my stuff.
You can't. That costs extra.
Right. That's extra money. So are we going to get married and pull all our stuff together? Or are you going to come later? But if you come later, honey, you got to pay for that, because I'm not going to pay for that. Correct. I'm going to be over here already. Mm-hmm. And then is it coast to coast? Are we moving next door? Are we moving overseas? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so many nuances to that, and it's yeah. like you just hope and pray that you're like, okay, we're solid, this is good, we can speed this up.
Yeah. And you know what, I think that is something that I thought is great about the military community, but it's also not great. So I have a similar story to where, like I said, I was a grown-up. Like, I worked on the military installation. My husband actually was in pilot training at the time. So we knew it's a training installation. You leave yeah. training, right? Mm-hmm. We knew the clock was ticking on when he would be leaving. And I think the reason why I say it's great for our community is because I feel like my husband and I, almost, I would say by the date that I actually consider a real date, I knew that would be my husband. Like, I feel like I had gone through my own maturity and preparation period, and he had been going through a very similar one. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, literally our second, I tease and I say, like, our second date, we was pulling up credit scores, like, real talk. We were pulling uh-huh. up credit scores. We were talking about, like, the whole family tree, who crazy, who not, what's going on. Like, we were having real conversations second date. So for us, it was great, because moving quickly didn't feel like moving quickly, because we were so aligned mm-hmm. in so many things. Not perfect, because yeah. there's always going to be something to have to figure out in a relationship. So let me not fool y'all over here. but we were very aligned. So moving quickly, that shorter time frame, just felt like we had to be more sure about and intentional about the moves and the way that we carried ourselves in our relationship, through our courtship, through dating and engagement and marriage. I would say where it hurts our military community is because I feel like not everyone is in a place in life where they can make those what you think to be like lifelong decisions mm-hmm. in a short matter of time. And then also people start showing you something different when you get in different environments. Mm-hmm. And that can also be challenging, especially when you're choosing to stay with someone for an extended, like for what would be a lifetime in such short time frames. Also, you know this to be true in our military community, because of that, those quick turns and having to move frequently and wanting to stay connected with someone that you feel like you love, we have a lot of very young people who get married. And when I say young people, our enlisted members are as young as what, 18? Mm-hmm, yep. Maybe. You a baby making whole life decisions, getting mm-hmm. married, and already on y'all first and second kid by the time y'all 19.
Yeah.
Things move very quickly. And it's interesting because even at our age, I feel like I am still learning a whole lot about myself. I could not imagine at that young age trying to figure out who I am as a person, and also trying to figure out who I am as a wife. And oh, by the way, like I said, trying to figure out who they are as parents. That is very strenuous. And I think that also is why we see a higher divorce rate in our armed services. But that is why those resources, having a community to talk to lean into, to talk about things like this, is so important because it's not impossible. There are people who have navigated it and done it successfully, but it hurts my heart to see so many people who are a product of the military culture that get hurt and bring that hurt even into new relationships time and time again, as that cycle continues to repeat. So my goal is just to see more military marriages thriving, healthy, strong. I want to see people that like each other. I want to see people that are spicy in the BX and the PX, like, you know, winking at each other, still going on dates. Like, that is the type of energy that we need in our armed forces, because I truly believe that when our marriages are strong, our families are strong, and thus when our service families are strong, our armed forces are strong.
Absolutely. Because then in that case, if you have someone who has to deploy, if you have someone who needs to be away from home, that's one less thing that they have to worry about. You don't want someone who's deploying right. to then still also be worried about their spouse and their kids back home to make sure that everything is okay. So that's like, what better way to send a person off to for them to know that their marriage is on solid ground, absolutely. But not only that, that they have built a community and have a community that's able to support them in their absence. Like, there's no better feeling than that there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So another thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know we're kind of getting towards the end, in one of your episodes, you talked about being in different seasons as your spouse. So I think that's a, I think that would be like a really good thing to bring up for people, if you could talk about that for a moment.
Absolutely. And I love that episode. That was that discussion sparked from me serving as a coach in a retreat for seasoned spouses. And what we found out in just talking with those women and dealing with their hearts, their questions, and their concerns as they are in very transitional states. And what I mean by that for my civilians is, you have military members that get that have lived this military life and they're about to separate or get out of the military. And then they have to figure out what life looks like now that they've gotten used to the rigor of the transitional life. So they're trying to figure out what's next. And what we talked about in that discussion was just that this concept of we find ourselves in different seasons from our spouses. So think of our four seasons: winter, summer, spring, and fall. Think of it from a perspective of maybe you are in a more fruitful season. You feel like you were in full bloom. You feel like things that you've been working on are finally coming together. Opportunities are your way, are coming your way. You are just in bloom. You're in spring. But maybe your spouse or your partner, they are in winter. It's dormant. Things are still alive, but there's not a whole lot of movement. It's more still. It's more cold. Those are very different seasons to be in a relationship in. And the first thing that I would like to say about that is, if you maybe can identify with that, maybe it's not spring for you, but maybe you're in harvest season and you're in the fall and some old things are falling off, like those leaves that fall off trees, and you, but you're bringing in some great things that you've been working on, and it's time for you to store up for yourself. Or maybe it's looking like summer and you in go mode and you out here, like you shining. Maybe those are the different seasons that you find yourself in. Know that if you're in a different season from your spouse, that one is okay. It's definitely okay. We're not always going to be in the same season that our spouse is in. And that's really important to remember. Our coach Patrice says to give people the dignity of their process, their own process and their own journey. And oftentimes what that means for us, as we talk about this conversation of seasons, is we have to respect the fact that that person who may be going through that winter season, or that may be going through that harvesting and gathering up season, that they're still progressing. They have to walk through that for themselves. And you can't rush them to summer or they're going to miss something along their journey. And that'll cause tension in your relationship, trying to speed somebody up from winter to summer. Listen, my military people, y'all know the military likes to send us to extremes. So you know what that feels like, going from Alaska to Hawaii, or in my case, North Dakota to Louisiana. Come on. Going from those drastic changes, that can be a lot. So think of that when you are maybe in a different season from your spouse, honoring that season that they are in, communicating about what that looks like to be in different season, but ultimately respecting that the two of you are in different seasons and that's okay. Where it's not okay, and let me be very clear on this, because everybody's like, oh, you the marriage champion. Listen, if your spouse is trying to force you to be in their season and it is unhealthy and it is spiraling, and it is something that you notice, and that goes back to that engage and trust. And it is something that you know, this myself is telling me that this is not okay. Right. That is where I would further encourage you to get into community, seek out resources, and have the conversation, because that may be something that you encourage your spouse to find out why they want to pull you from your season of flourishing into their season of maybe being dormant, whatever that looks like, and vice versa. So I'd like to just, when we talk about seasons, be aware that you can be in different seasons as your spouse, and also lean into the fact that enjoy the season that you're in and don't feel like you have to rush to the next one.
Yeah, that's really good. I definitely think and feel that, especially for those that have, we call them the lifers, those that have done 20 years, for them to transition, especially if they join the military at a fairly young age. So think about it, 18 and 20, retiring in your 30s or 40, you basically have to figure out another life. Of course, if you choose to, and most do, because you've spent all this time moving and being active, like being idle is kind of odd to you. That kind of waking up that early is very odd to you. And so a lot have issues transitioning from go, 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 busy, busy, busy to, so you don't want me to do nothing today.
Right. Right. Or having the responsibility of making the decision. I've had conversations with people who their biggest fear with getting out of the military is, what if we pick the wrong place to live?
Right. Yeah.
They've always been told where their next assignment will be, and they'll always figure it out. And they have someone else to blame if they hate it.
Yeah.
But now the responsibility of making the decision is on them, or starting a new career. The responsibility is on them. They get not, and I say they, I don't want to generalize, some get held up with being in that season of, shoot, something new is about to bloom, and I am responsible for what that is, because now I have to plant the seeds. Now I have to do the things. I have to make the decision.
Yep. And even me, I have 3 years left, and everyone's like, where are you going to go? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea where I want to go. I'm like, man, I don't know where life is going to take me. I don't know if I want to. I was like, I feel like I want to be East Coast somewhere. And I was like, but I did like the DMV area, but I don't like the way my check is going to leave me if I go to the DMV area.
Right.
I got to come back down. But I'm like, I'm here in Texas. I'm like, it ain't bad, but do I want to stay here? Or like, where do I want? Yeah, I know I'm not going back up north. I know that there's snow there. So places where snow is common. I'm allergic.
Yeah.
That's not my ministry. So I'm like, well, where are you going? I'm like, well, I still got some time to figure it out. But I mean, it's an extremely huge transition, because you're like, okay, where am I going? Yeah. Where am I going to go? And then for you to make all those proper steps to figure out, are you going to work? Are you going to be an entrepreneur? Are you going to work? Where are you going to work? Are you going to go back and work for the government so you can kind of stay in it? Or are you going to get completely out? And there's so many decisions and nuances for that, that it can definitely be like a time consuming process. And I think that's why they give you so much time. I think now that it used to be 2 years, but I believe now they've changed it to 3 years where you can start prepping and planning so that you can make a sound decision and you're not out here like flapping by the time you get ready to get out.
And I think this applies to not just my military folks, but also just all of the listeners out there being okay with dreaming a new dream. I think that is a challenge that I find a lot of people get stuck in their routine. And it's funny because even in the military life, you would think like, oh, we move all the time. Yeah, but like that's a routine. You are in routine of moving all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is scary oftentimes to dream. And I talked to in the group that I lead, the Command Collective community, one of the things that we work on is having our military spouses and service women come together. And what are your dreams? What are your goals? And one of the things that I find that's very interesting with working with this dynamic group of powerhouse women, they still are a little afraid to dream because oftentimes when you dream up a vacation that you want to go to, the military is like, he's getting deployed. You got training.
Right.
Sorry, your plans is canceled. So you're used to getting told like, oh, you can't, you know, this limitation, that limitation. And then to open up your mind and just be like, no, I have the freedom to just dream something new, to write my own story, rewrite my own story, whatever that looks like. And I think a lot of people do not take those opportunities to just see where your mind wanders. So I would say that for you as well. Give yourself permission to dream a new dream. It don't have to be perfect. Guess what, girl? You could just dream another one.
Exactly.
and see where the journey goes. But I would encourage anyone who's listening, single, married, civilian, military, challenge yourself to dream a new dream and to care about yourself when you're doing that.
That's good. That's good. Definitely dream a new dream, because I've certainly had to do that. I've talked about my divorce on here quite a bit, and that was the start of me having to dream a new dream, because we had already spoken about the places where we would retire. We talked about the things that we would do. And so now being divorced is like, okay, now all that's off the table. So mm-hmm. not have to do something entirely different and something completely different. And then even for those that are listening that are military, I know sometimes what can hold us back again is that fear of change. And so instead of us dreaming a new dream, we'll stay in an old place, but then we'll get miserable.
Yeah.
So when we know that we were probably released to go at year 20 or 21 or 22, we try to push it out till year 30 and then you're miserable. Like, don't stay to the point that you're absolutely miserable. Like, you want to leave on a high note. So, I mean, you can always do reserves if you want to, or, you know, do something else, but you have the know-how, you have the wherewithal, you have the knowledge, you have the leadership abilities and capabilities because you've been doing it for 20 years. You will always land on your feet for it. So thank you for that. Dream a new dream.
Absolutely.
All right. So the last question that I got for you, Bree.
Yes, ma'am.
Is what advice would you give to our sisters out there regarding military and marriage?
What advice would I give for military and marriage? And I'm going to take advantage and I'm going to break them up a little bit.
Sure.
Sisters, my advice to you for military is to keep us in your prayers. It is not a secret what is going on in the world. There's a lot going on with the Ukraine, and a lot of our military families and servicemen and women are kind of on the edge of their seat waiting to see when they will be called upon to do what they have trained to do. Mm-hmm. And I just ask that all of my sisters out there, just keep us in your thoughts and prayer. If this is your first time being exposed to even conversations about military families and military lives, we appreciate the support, the thoughts, the prayers, the thank you for your service. It definitely makes a difference on hard days and where we're watching hard conflicts that the world is watching, but we have a different underlying ache in the bottom of our stomach that says, yeah. Now, what does that mean for my family? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for my plans? What does that mean for my future?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that I would say to my sisters as it relates to military. And then what I would say, and the advice that I would give to my sisters as it relates to marriage, is going to echo the dream, a new dream. Get a vision for what marriage is for you. Get a vision of what that is. And that's really that first step for the care method with that careful consideration. It really has to do with vision. I feel like where there is no vision, the people perish, and thus the relationship will perish. And I think having a vision, and for some people that's dreaming a new dream, for everybody that might be dreaming a new dream, because it may be your first time, right? You never had a vision for your marriage. You just thought, I was just supposed to do the things. And oftentimes you don't even know where you're going. You are literally in a car, a vehicle, if you will, called marriage, not knowing where you're going, not having a destination. You'll never know when you got there, when you've arrived, right? Because yeah. You don't have a vision of what there is. And you don't know how to navigate that with your words, with your emotions, if you don't know where you're going. So my advice as it relates to marriage, whether you are single or married, is to get a vision for relationship and what that means to you, what that looks like to you, what you desire. And that will start to lay the foundation for what you're able to receive in your life.
And there you have it. Have a vision, create a vision, dream a new dream, or redefine the vision. Either way, the vision needs to be there.
The vision needs to be there. It needs
to be there. Well, Bree, thank you so much for coming by A Letter to My Sister podcast. I appreciate you so much for dropping your wisdom and your nuggets on us, especially about the care and caring for ourselves.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me. It has been such a pleasure. For those out there who want to continue to stay connected, you can follow me at It's Bree Carroll. I play mostly on Instagram. If you want to know more about Military Marriage Day, you can check out militarymarriageday.com and Military Marriage Day on IG. And if you are looking for a community and you are an ambitious military spouse or servicewoman, head to the Command Collective community. We would love to have you and help you thrive there.
Yes. And I will have, don't y'all worry, I'll have all of her information in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Have a vision of what marriage looks like for you. I absolutely love that piece that Bree gave. And I loved her three principles in combination with her care method, because it's like everything is focused on self first. And I definitely believe that is so important. But I need you to know a little bit more about Bree. I talked about her a little bit in her introduction, but let's do the rest. Bree Carroll, military spouse, event planner, community builder, and speaker, transforms spaces and hearts through experience design and purposeful planning. With a background in civil engineering, Bree brings her brilliance of problem solving and strategic thinking to design transformational experiences with her company, Bree Carroll Events, LLC. As a voice in the Mill Spouse community, she holds the title of the 2020-2021 Armed Forces Insurance Air Force Spouse of the Year and advocates to strengthen military marriage on her intentionally broadcasted podcast, Hearts and Stripes. Bree is the founder of Military Marriage Day, a national holiday celebrated annually on August the 14th, and is an executive producer of GY6 Show, a virtual fashion exhibition highlighting military veterans, spouse, and dependent designers around New York Fashion Week. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Bree. Like I said, I will leave all of her information for you in the show notes per usual. And so definitely, if you got something from this episode, I would love for you to leave me a comment, rate and review the episode. And sis, as I say every week, there is no one like you. There is no one out here that can do the things that you do. So show up, let your light shine bright, and never dim it for anyone. Until next time, bye.